The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, sending your AI avatar into meetings instead of you is in the near future. That's according to the Zoom boss, Eric Yuan. News Talk tech correspondent has been looking at all of this. Jess, good morning.
Morning.
So, first of all, explain to people what an AI avatar is.
It's essentially like a digital assistant. We already have the likes of Siri, we have Google, we have Alexa, we have all these digital assistants. And in the near future, we will have digital versions of ourselves. If you ever played Sims or any online video game, it's a small version of yourself, a digital version of yourself that will carry out different tasks. So whether it is going to a meeting where you don't need to participate, you just need to listen, you will be able to send your AI avatar there, and they will essentially report back to you in a text-based document or in an audio file, and you can then chip in.
So they don't participate, they don't offer your view.
Well, this is where some AI experts are at loggerheads at the moment, because the vision from the CEO of Zoom, as you just mentioned there, is that they will be able to interact. Because, it's, for example, if you're someone who uses autocomplete on your phone, so you know if you're writing a text to me and it knows...
Yeah, it'll offer you, and then you can either accept that or change it.
Exactly, but it learns over time the kind of language that you use, the types of words that you use. So the thinking is that your AI avatar will be so familiar with your turns of phrase and with your decision-making process that it could, in theory, according to the CEO of Zoom, make decisions on your behalf.
So listen to all the discussion, six people around this digital meeting, all on Zoom, and maybe they're all avatars.
And they could completely be avatars. So for example, say if you and I were due to have a meeting, but we wanted to go for lunch instead, we'd send our AI avatars to the meeting. We would have, you and I, the human beings, will have set the agenda for the meeting. So we want to decide, is Pat going to talk to Jess Kelly about phones? Is he going to talk to Owen Curry about travel? Or is he going to talk to John Duggan about sport? They're the options. That's the agenda for the meeting. We'd set the AI avatars off. They would have a discussion. They would look through the different options. My AI avatar would put me forward because I'm great, and sure, why wouldn't I advocate for myself? But maybe your one would say, but there's a big sporting occasion on this weekend, so perhaps we should do sport instead. Yeah. And using the logic and the decision-making processes that it's watched us, the human versions of us, make, it would then come to a conclusion.
How far away is all this?
It depends on who you talk to. So the CEO of Zoom has said within the next 5 years or so. However, there's an awful lot of concern about handing over decision-making capabilities and responsibilities to artificial intelligence. And it's not because it can't do it. It's because it can do it. And you've got idiots who'll misuse and abuse it, and you don't know what situation you could end up in.
A decision is made. Who has legal responsibility for that decision?
Yeah.
If your avatar makes the decision based on your thinking, but it's not the decision you would have made on the day for legal reasons or ethical reasons, what then?
Yeah, with the EU, particularly in the EU, we now have the EU AI Act, and there are strict guidelines and provisions in there to ensure that there is a human being standing over any key decision that's made with AI. And the buck will always stop with a human being. It just depends on which human being that is. Like, I'm already using an awful lot of AI in my day-to-day life, but I'm not using it professionally because that would then impact the company's policy. So, for example, this type of technology, and we've seen examples of this, it's incredibly useful. But if it hasn't been vetted by your CTO or your tech team and you're embracing it, you don't know, for example, the integrity, the cybersecurity integrity of every platform. You don't know if it's GDPR compliant. You don't know all of these different aspects. But in the near future, this is going to be ingrained in every single one of our devices, and we're going to use it without even realizing it.
Now, AI is based on, it's what they call a large language model.
Yeah.
They absorb in massive amounts of information and structures and grammatical things and so on, and therefore they can construct a poem about Jess Kelly and her new house in 15 seconds or
exactly,
less.
Exactly, yeah. Instantly. Absolutely instantly, yes.
But does that mean that each one of us is going to have our own large language model to generate our own avatar?
That's where it's going to go. And this is why it's so exciting, is because this technology is going to be ingrained in whether it is our smartphones or our work laptops or our personal laptops. it'll be so familiar with how we work. It's not going to be an arduous process. So the large language models that you're interacting with, if it's associated with an account in which you're logged in, it will learn your behaviours, your turns of phrase, your preferences and so on, and be able to be really useful as an assistant.
Now, some of us are using this, as you mentioned, in terms of predictive texts and so on. And we didn't ask to use it. It's just there. It's on our phones. You say that you're using AI in your personal rather than your business life every day. Give us some examples of how you use it.
Oh, a million and one different ways. So, for example, I moved out of my apartment 6 weeks ago now, and I asked ChatGPT to write me a list of the things, give me tips for packing out of an apartment in which I've lived for 10 years, prioritize having kitchen utensils and essentials for when I move into a new place. And it gave me the order to pack things in. It gave me a structured template to fill in to keep track of what boxes. So it told me to number all of my boxes and to write a one-line summary of what's in each box. It gave me a template to fill out. So I had all of that. It gave me reminders to make sure that I have glasses, cutlery,
so you can survive when you move in. Open box 1, 2, and 3 and you're fine.
And you're completely
dandy. And the rest will stay in the third bedroom for 6 months.
Exactly. But you know what's amazing is because I did that now, I can go back in and I can say, where are my summer clothes? And it'll say box 15 to the back of the room.
Now that is useful.
It is so useful. And it's those kind of things that we need to look to AI for, because this is a tool that's there to make our lives easier. We just need to understand how and when we can embrace it. So going in and asking it questions that you could Google makes no sense. Asking it to do tasks for you, that's the whole purpose and the whole point.
So check it out. Now, are you on the basic ChatGPT or have you...
So I was paying for the full version for a little while because I found it so useful to be able to upload documents to it and ask it to write a summary for me.
I remember we got it to do one report yesterday.
It was the RTE, the unredacted report.
And it managed to be as boring as the original.
It was, but in 7 bullet points rather than 17 pages. So in those instances, it's very, very useful. I'm currently using Microsoft's Copilot. That's an app that I now have on my phone. And it is fantastic. The speed, the accuracy, the creativity, it just blows me away every single day.
And is that part of Word or do you pay for it or is
it
a free app?
You can download the app for free. You can also work from it from your browser. I would highly recommend you go in and give it a go.
I'll give it a go during the next commercial break.
Do you?
Jess Kelly, our tech correspondent, thank you very much. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.